Welcome to Expire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Saturday morning, May the 14th, 2011, and I am honored and privileged to be with you as, well, hopefully we are able to take a look at some pretty provocative questions that people have put to me. And they're interesting, to say the least. What is on our minds all the time? It's just very, very, very fascinating to me. And we're going to take a look at that in just a moment. Before I begin, I want to remind you of my new website at aspire.org. If you haven't been there, I hope you will take the time to go. What I try to do on this program and with my TV program and this, classes and the things that I offer, retreats, is offer to you a different perspective about your life, a different way of looking at it from the point of view of maybe compassion or love or maybe meditation, some deeper insight. So go to the website at aspire.org. Go take a look around. I have a wonderful series that I have made, and it surprises me to no end, I hate to say it, the indifference that most people have about their life, their inner life, their real life. I have a brand new series on the Beatitudes. If you go into the catalog section, you will see Discourses and then the Beatitudes. They are brand new. I've just finished them about a month or two ago, and I hope you will listen to them. I hope that you will start to imbibe them a little bit. The teachings that the Master offered to us are about the blueprint to life, the ultimate blueprint to life as love. It's very, very important, and if you go take a look at it, you might just find that the Beatitudes are something you really, quote-unquote, can't live without. None of us really can. We like to pretend we do, but we don't. Very few people are much interested in inner work, spiritual work these days. I am a dinosaur, I understand that, but what these teachings offer that Jesus gave us, often called the Sermon on the Mount, which it really wasn't, but we'll just give it that label, was very, very powerful. The blueprint to achieving consciousness. The first question comes from Lang, and he lives in SoCal and listens to us here on the radio program here on KRXA, which I am deeply grateful that he does. He said, I think people are stupid these days. I do not care to be mean or unkind, but we are stupid. What is happening to us? Is it something in the water, Lang? Lang, between you and I, just you and I so agree with you. We are stupid. Not dumb. Stupid. We don't do anything that cultivates consciousness, awareness, awakening. We just want to get what we want. Like, what you're really saying is we are not mindful, meaning aware. We don't look at our life from the point of awareness. We look at our minds according to our emotion. Nothing makes me stupider, and I've done it too. I am one of those people you were talking about. I really am from time to time. And I catch myself when I'm in a lapse or I've kind of fallen into complacency within myself for a few moments. The more we indulge ourselves, the worse it gets. Now, self-indulgence is a very powerful narcotic. The more indulgent we become based on the idea of entitlement, thinking that because we live in this great country, quote unquote, that we are entitled to certain freedoms that are just inherent to us, we miss the whole point. We become extremely emotional. We become extremely detached from the reality of what is going on within us, and we lose our sense of awareness, and we are left to living as gluttons, just moving from one thing to another, wanting this and never considering the consequences or what might be around us. Let me give you an example. Lang, I don't know about you, but I live here in Carmel, and I cruise around the Monterey area, and you know, down at Cannery Row, and all the hot spots where tourists are. They don't even look both ways when they cross the street. They don't even look. I sit there with a few of my friends, and we watch. They don't even look. They just walk across the street. They think only in terms of their desire and entitlement. They believe that because they're in that crosswalk, there is a magic barrier between them and danger. They're so busy stuffing an ice cream in their mouth or talking to someone or trying to get to that little shop where they saw those cute shoes or whatever it is they want, and they don't even look around them. And I'm not kidding you. 9 out of 10 will not. And the ones that do stare you down in the car, saying in essence, look, I'm going to walk in this crosswalk. You don't have the right of way, and I'm just going to do what I want to do because that's the freedom I'm given to do. I've watched it. Over. It isn't an occasional thing. Another thing that really gets me, Lang, is you'll be driving along here, and all of a sudden people will stop in the middle of the road. Just stop. Never look behind them to see who's behind them or if it's safe to do it. Just stop to look in a window. Or to look at the ocean. They don't consider pulling over. None of that. And they're perfectly fine with double parking. I don't know why they think that's okay, but they do it all the time here. This is just a symptom. You think I'm being nitpicky? This is a symptom of how they live their life. I'm a firm believer that the way I drive my car is often the way I think. If I'm out of my awareness, I take some very ugly chances. And when I'm driving, if I'm not aware of who's around me, and I'm just thinking about me and where I need to go, what I want, I lose my mindfulness, Lang. You say, I think people are stupid these days. Yes, they are. And the more of us there are on the planet, the more stupid we become, because it becomes an emotional issue of I want mine before you get yours. It gets down to that ugly kind of Jungian rat theory where we're just running around like rats trying to survive each other. And if you put us into a cage where there's too many of us, it just becomes dog eat dog. It's really not. Well, dogs wouldn't even do that. Dogs are beautiful things. Rats eat rats, I guess. I don't know. It is pretty ugly. And you are correct. We are pretty stupid. We've allowed our country to be in the image and the likeness of ourselves. It isn't our politicians. It's us. It's we, the people of this fruited plain, who have become so stupid. If other countries looked at what we've become through what we call democracy, I would fight against it too. We don't do anything kind and loving unless it's in our benefit, some way or another. We don't liberate countries because we're there to help them from the oppression of their government. They have to have some oil or something there that's a payoff for us. Now, I just got political. Ouch. And I don't know anything about politics. So, oh my God, I could be very wrong about that. So please forgive me. But here's the deal to your question. You ask what has happened to us. That's the major question. We have become gratuitous, desirous, all through the idea that through our need for satisfaction, for gluttony, for our gratuitous attitudes, we've become inspired, so to speak, by our own interpretation of getting what we want, entitlement. We are inspired only by our entitlement. We are not inspired by space, emptiness, and finding what mindfulness might be to care and love about every person that comes into our path, to care about them and what they are doing and to try to help. We don't care. All we care about is ourselves. And because we live in this gratuitous, indulgent way, entitled by what we think are our inherent rights and freedoms, we have become very ugly Americans. And I agree with you, Lang. I totally do. The only way out? Well, you know what I'm going to say. You're going to have to be mindful. All of us are. The more people on the planet, the more mindful and patient I'm going to have to be. I'm going to have to look at everything from the point of view of it takes, well, you know, normally 5 minutes to get there, plan on 10. If I'm going to the grocery store, I should expect that there won't be everything I want there, because there will be others before me. There's all sorts of considerations of patience, compassion, mercy, and kindness we're going to need. But we don't do that. We just want what we want because we think we're entitled by somehow living here. But living here is not what living here is all about. Living here means I must be kind. I have to be willing to yield. Yield to the circumstances around me to overcome myself. And if I can yield to the circumstances, and that means where I don't always have to get what I want and be entitled, if I can yield to the idea of less is more, I will start to understand what it means to come into the love and the compassion for others. Lang, we are on a very dangerous path, and it has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with attitude. It has to do with where we go to live within ourselves. And if I live within myself, in my greedy mind, in my angry mind, in my vengeful mind, in my entitled emotions, then I'm going to live very ugly. And I'm going to find a great deal of despair in my life. It's all about love, my dear man. And love is going to be something different to each and every one of us. And that is why we have the difficulty we have. We love what we want. And till we change all of that, it's going to be a mess. And I think a deep one for a long, long time, but what the heck do I know? Anyway, thank you for coming to the website at aspire.org, and thank you for asking the question, and thank you for the kind comment about the radio program, and please forgive me. Namaste. Yeah. Oh, boy. Go take that Sunday drive and learn. The next one's from Tim. And he lives in San Diego, and he says, what makes me need to believe in anything? You don't seem to teach what anyone should believe in. How do you get by doing that, Tim? I know, Tim. I don't. I don't have the Ten Commandments or any of that. I do offer things like the Eightfold Path of Buddha. And I offer the newest teachings I have on the Beatitudes. But people, they're not much interested in that because it doesn't get them what they want, kind of a leftover from Lang. But why do you need to believe? Because it fortifies your mind, your ego. We can't do emptiness, can we? Emptiness scares us. What if it were all about, which it is, wanting nothing with all of your heart? What if it weren't about getting what I want or getting what I think is important, getting mine before you get yours kind of thing? Belief is not necessary. There is belief and then there is trust, faith, real faith. Not the faith in some analytical idea. Faith in somebody who's been dead for thousands of years. That's easy. You can always have faith in, Jesus or Buddha, and they're dead, and you can make them whatever you want them to be. In your mind, you can just make up anything you like. But the real faith has nothing to do with people or even concepts. Real faith, now listen to me, is trust in the intrinsic goodness of your own being. And if you can trust in the intrinsicness of your own being, you have overcome the unconscious mind, the subconscious mind, which is what most people live by. They live by unconscious thought, impression, emotion. For instance, if you were born into the Catholic faith, you will never overcome it. I hear people all the time tell me in emails, I'm a recovering Catholic. Nobody recovers from Catholicism. Nobody. Whatever you were when you were younger is what will daunt you and taunt you for the rest of your life. How to overcome what your mind has been clinging to, your body has been clinging to in its cellular memory. You can't. You're going to, though, be able to move away from the influence of all of that. But that takes a practice. That means I must work on being very conscious all the time, having a sense of mindfulness about my life, about my practice, and living consciously, making myself live in the choiceless choice of awareness, not thinking about what will happen if I do this and what I'll get if I do that. It's all about consciousness. So if you can no longer believe and just be conscious and want consciousness, you will have something miraculous. And that is really all you need to do. Meditation brings about the awareness of being conscious. Working upon yourself simply means that you are no longer going to be impulsive. A lot of the damage that has been done in our lives has been based in living impulsively, compulsively, wanting things that really have nothing to do with the nature of our life or the beauty of our life. Remember what the Buddha said, want nothing with all of your heart. This is a very profound statement. Tim, I don't teach you to believe. I would rather have you unbelieve for a while. I would like you to drop the mind and drop the idea of what you need to believe in to sustain the ego, the pride, the vanity, and maybe cultivate consciousness, love. Love is cultivated not through emotion and passion and belief. Love is cultivated through emptiness, silence, the sound of one hand clapping. Something that most people cannot endure, cannot get involved in. It is about a certain love inside that you feel, pulsate to, find substance and meaning in. And once that has been recognized within you through consciousness, through compassion, a great deal of beauty starts to arise. Let love live you, dear one. Let love live you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Wow. Two very powerful questions. And the last one from Jane in New York City, who listens to us via the website at aspire.org. And you can go there and listen to past programs, even future programs. You can. If God has a plan for good, where is the good? And why is there such evil, Jane? Jane, you assume that by asking me this question that I believe in this God that most people believe in. Some dude sitting in the clouds who is schizophrenic, neurotic, who has some kind of screwed up plan for things that, quote unquote, he's made, but keeping it a secret from all of us. and putting it in some obscure book called the Bible that he did not really write, but human beings wrote to manipulate people. I don't know where you get this idea of God. I am more a purist. I don't look at it as a man, a dude with a plan. If God made us in his own image and after his own likeness, we are totally, totally, totally screwed. Because this whole thing is a mess. And it isn't because of God being the image and likeness of us. This is human stuff. There is no plan, honey. You are that which is. You are love. Jesus said God is love, and I'll buy that. But love hasn't got a plan either. You want things to work out. The reason people enjoy religion is it gives them some kind of propped up hope about how their life will turn out if they just go to church. If they just do what they're told to do. Just give me the rules and I'll abide by them the best I can and I'll hope for the best. It's like, you know, worrying about the earth but not really doing the things that sustain the earth. We're a very lazy people. Jane, there is no plan for good. You are the intrinsic goodness that is love. And you must put aside all of these very immature thoughts and beliefs about God and all that, and fear. It seems that people are more prone to fear than to love, and if that is what it's all about, and your God is a God of fear, then, you know, God-fearing kind of dude, then who needs it? Don't we have enough fear on the planet? This is why people don't care about the teachings of Jesus. They just like a dead one and then one that resurrects and their beliefs. And then they can run around and say, oh, look, look, look. This is just so immature. I can't even go there. So practice love. Find it in yourself. Persevere. You don't sound to me like you're much ready for that part of your life yet. You're still in the questioning mode. So question everything. That's good. Question, question, question. Why is there this? Why is there that? Just keep questioning. You'll find the answers within you eventually, if you are willing. You will start to know the way, if you are willing. And if you want nothing with all of your heart, as Buddha said, you will find the answer to your question. There is only that which is love. Want what nobody does. Love, forgive, and give. Love, forgive, and give. Simple stuff. Forgive me, eh? Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you, please come to my beautiful new website at aspire.org. Go to the media section there on the homepage, and you will see radio programs. And if you hit it, you'll see 2011 radio programs as well as 2010, 2009, and 2008. And if you click on it, you can safely email me. And any question you might have that would be important to you could be very important to another listener. So go on ahead and type up a question. I'd love to hear from you. My new series, The Beautiful Beatitudes. Wow. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Do you know what those mean? You probably know a lot of other things that you think are more important than those first three Beatitudes, but they're much more important than anything you have ever heard in your life. And in these three Beatitudes, I talk about how they sustain a spiritual path and offer a spiritual path. These three beginning Beatitudes are the essence of what it means to enter into an authentic spiritual life and practice. They require a great deal of focus, concentration, and intelligence. And if you are about any of those things, which most people are not these days, but if you are, you might find my offerings tremendously helpful. If you want to know a little more about this, please go to the catalog section at aspire.org. And go down to Discourses, and you will see Beatitudes will pop up. You can click on that. And if you do, there's a little voice over there that will explain exactly what the Beatitudes are about. You can order them safely and securely through the website at aspire.org. Or if you like, if you want, you can give me a call. Now, right now, I'm at the Cherry Center offering Discourse, so I'm not in the office. So you can leave your name and your phone number and tell me what you want. I'll call you back when I get back from Discourse, and I can put them in the mail to you promptly. It's a five CD set with two discourses per CD. The donation is $125. The proceeds are used to purchase more airtime of our radio program here on KRXA and down in San Diego on Channel 4. It's partly how we pay for airtime. And your gift will go to help many, many people. And at the same time, be helping you. So go take a look at the Beatitudes in my catalog section. It's interesting how people think, isn't it? I mean, I find it fascinating. Here we are surrounded by this beauty and living in such inner tragedy. Don't let that happen to you. Don't. Do something out of the box, something loving and kind. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning at 9:04. I hope you'll join me. And above all, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.